and welcome to Kingwood United Methodist Church. Thank you for joining us today. Wherever you're listening from and whatever service you're listening to, we strongly believe because of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, there is always more to life.
Friends, let's get right in. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to invite you to turn to 1 John chapter 4. We'll be reading in verse 7, and we'll have it on the screen, but I encourage you because this is a really important segment that we'll only be able to cover parts of it, so I want you to see that before you. 1 John chapter 4, starting in verse 7. I hesitated about reading this whole section because of time constraints a little bit, but I just have to read it. This is the gospel. This is the good news right here. I want you to hear this. If you've never heard this read aloud, just let this soak over you today. 1 John chapter 4, starting in verse 7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. And this is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son. He sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. And this is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brothers and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love brother and sister. Let us pray. God, we give you thanks again for your presence here in this space, and I pray that you would add your blessing to the reading of this scripture. Where we are empty, would you fill us? Where we are weak, would you strengthen us? Where we are wrong, would you correct us? And would you send us out once more? God, I pray for myself that you would speak through me or in spite of me, but may it be your message that's delivered. We love you and trust you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Friends, I'm going to confess to you that I am a sucker for a good love story. It is often that I get caught when my wife comes in, me watching the latest chick flick that's on TV. The Notebook, when Noah's building that house for her, y'all, come on. Guys, don't look at me like that. I thought this was a safe space, right? I am a sucker for a good love story. I knew I had it bad the other day when I was giving an overview of my favorite Nicholas Sparks movie to my wife who hadn't seen the movie. That probably clued to me that I should go get help. But I do love a good love story. And this week's Advent theme on love got me thinking about those movies and those love songs that I enjoy. I do love a good love song as well. The great thing about Spotify is that you can go to these lists. You can find a list and listen to it. So if I pulled up at a red light and you heard Ray Charles booming in the background, you're probably wondering what is going on with this guy right now. But I was listening to these love songs all week. What love songs come to mind when you think about it? Maybe Foreigner, I Want to Know What Love Is, right? I'm not going to sing any of them, okay? Or how about this movie scene from Top Gun, The Righteous Brothers, You've Lost That Loving Feeling. You know that scene, right? Ray Charles, I Can't Stop Loving You. Probably a dozen Frank Sinatra songs, Whitney Houston. What are the love songs that come to mind when you think about love songs? One of my favorite songs is a Beatles song, a very simple one about love. All you need is love, right? Remember the lyrics? Nothing you can do that can't be done. Nothing you can sing that can't be sung. Nothing you can say, but you can learn how to play the game. It's easy. All you need is love. All you need is love. All you need is love. Love is all you need. I did a little digging into the history of this song, and I found out it was written specifically for a live broadcast called Our World that would be broadcast on July 25th, 1967, and that would be shown across 17 countries around the world. This was going to be the first international live broadcast because of this fancy new satellite technology. And so the Beatles wrote this song, or John Lennon in specific wrote this song because he said it would translate to all of the other languages. Because every country and every language, every people knows love, knows what love means. And I think there's some truth to that, but I think there's also some half-truth in there as well. This idea of all you need is love is a scary half-truth. Right now I'm doing premarital counseling for couples that are getting married soon, and one of the false expectations we need to talk about is this idea that all you need is love and then everything else is going to be okay. Well, what do you do on the hard day when you don't even want to see your partner, much less smell them in the other room, right? All you need is love is something that can be fleeting. And really what we draw on is that love has some bad misconstrued definitions in our lives. All you need is love is a scary half-truth that we find in all of the songs and all of the movies. Love is something I think we are all looking for in the holidays, and that's why we're talking about it at Advent. And if you haven't been with us, if you're first time, we're in this series called The Way It Ought to Be because we're wrestling with those things that when we think about Christmas, what is the thing that the way it ought to be? Is it everyone's under the house together? Is it everyone is eating at the same table and we think that that will be joyful and we know in the heart of hearts that that's not joyful when we're all sitting at the same table, right? What about love, that we would experience love by the way that we give gifts and we receive gifts? I think that Christmas time, Advent time, is a time when we are all, even if we can't admit it, are looking for love. Think about it. Every Christmas movie on right now is either about Santa or about a love story, or both, right? Jewelry commercials start falling out of the woodwork. Do you love your partner? Buy this, right? That it is all about love. Truth is, Christmas time can be the most dangerous time because I think that this is a time that we actually manufacture the wrong kind of love. It's a time that we put our love in things that can't actually fulfill us. It's the time when we think we're being loved from this thing, or we are trying to put all of the pressure on someone in our life to be the love when they're not the source of love, when God is the source of love. And this text, 1 John 4, is going to talk about that. It's all about love. It's all about love in this text that we read out loud. It's one of my favorite texts in all of the Bible. It is swirling and it is confusing, but it is powerful and it's layered. The author of 1 John 4 is using this literary style called amplification, where he kind of says his points and then he swirls around them, adding to those points over and over and over again. And so what he introduces in the first few verses are what he's saying throughout the rest of the text. I want to read those first few verses to you again. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Friends, I think we can find three main points here in this text that you see throughout the verses that come after it. This idea of all you need is love is summed up in three points. First, God is the source of love. Second, God models genuine love. And three, God has a plan for this love. So I want to talk about these for the coming moments. First, God is the source of love. The first lesson from 1 John 4 and our Advent journey today is that God is the source of love. This is important for us today. It is something that I think we conceptualize. Like if we're all coming to church today, we probably, if I gave you a pop quiz and I said, does God love you? Is God love? You might say yes. But I wonder how much we are living that out in the ways that we go about our life. We're going to talk about that and the ways that we could see that even more. But look at verses 7 and 8. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. God is the source of love. God is love means that all of his characteristics, all of his actions, all of his grace, all of his judgment, all of his sovereignty, and all of his presence is love. It's all about love. Listen, we need to have a little talk about love because I think we have love really messed up in our culture. But what does it mean that God is the source of love? Well, first, if God is the source of love, then it is not in some relationship that you have. Not in some human relationship in your life. It's not in a spouse. It's not in a friend. It's not even in the collection of that. The source of love is God. And I think that we have defined love success in our culture at best as finding your soulmate and at worst as some lustful pursuit stolen from Christmas rom-coms or this other idea that we have. That's why we put the wedding dress on the back wall, because we think that's what love is. That if I just get to there. And some of us that have been married or have entered into any kind of relationship with any person, friend or not, we find out that there's, if that's all there is, it's fleeting. And it's hard to hold on to. Friends, to reduce love to a romance is reductionistic and it's too small. When it says this is love that God gave his son for us, and we think that all love is romance. No, love is God gave his son for us. That's what the message is for us. To reduce love to romance is too small. Single people in the room, if you live a life pursuing the source of love, God, then you have lived the highest calling. Do you hear that? And church, for the rest of us that maybe we're not single or maybe we've been given to marriage, when we make marriage as the goal and the end all of everything, we are turning to our single brother and sister and saying, what's wrong with you? The source of love is God. It's not a relationship, a human relationship. Friends, if singleness is in front of you, then you do it running after the source of love, which is God. If marriage is in front of you, then it should be a reflection of the source of love, which is God. For some of us, we've been married for 2 years, 10 years, 20 years, 40 years, and it doesn't reflect the source, right? This is a challenge for us to see this truth today. Church, we have to quit idolizing marriage in this way. Marriage should be a reflection of this truth that God is love. It shouldn't be the end in itself. It is the means so that people might see Christ. Second, married people, God is the source, not your spouse. God is the source of love, not your spouse. Marriage is not the source of love. Sex is not the source of love. Your computer screen is not the source of love. God is the source. All you need is love. Yes, but not the manufactured kind. The real kind. From the source. When Lauren and I, my wife Lauren, when we were dating, we've been together for... Actually, I should tell you the dates. If I said them out loud, then I'd probably just get them wrong. But we had been dating for a little while, and there came a point in our relationship where we realized that we were putting each other as the source of love. And that our relationship had it was no longer centered on God in any way. And everything in our lives crumbled. We split ways. We didn't think we'd ever be together again. And we spent time figuring out what it means that God is the source of love. That if I can't be secure in my position with God, then I'll never be able to love anyone else the way that he's called me to. And it took months of God putting that back together in our lives so that when the Lord led us back together, we were able to say, you know what? I do love you, but I love God more. And that was so important for us. Now, we still get that wrong all the time, right? We get it wrong every day. But every day is an opportunity for us to turn back to the source of love. First, God is the source. That's the message from 1 John 4. Second, God models genuine love. Not only is God the source, but he also gives us the perfect picture of it. Look at verses 9 and 10. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Friend, this is the greatest act of love there ever was and ever will be. There is no Christmas hallmark that you're going to see that will touch this story of love. There is no narrative in our lives. There is no religion in the world that tells a love story so profound that the creator of the universe loved you enough, loved the world enough to enter into the story and give his life for the redemption of the world. This is the measuring stick. This is how we understand love. Love is not reduced to just some romance. Love is founded in this self-sacrificing of God. This is what we base our own love in. This is the launching point for any conversation of love. Anything that we love or call love in this life is measured by degrees from this love of God giving himself in Jesus Christ. Do you hear that, church? Does that make sense? There is no other religion. There is no other faith. There is no other narrative that has this truth and this love story. This should challenge how we love and what we love, because it's all measured in degrees from the absolute love of God giving himself in Jesus. Dietrich Bonhoeffer says this about love: God travels wonderful ways with human beings, but he does not comply with the views and opinions of people. That's a harsh statement. Chew on that for a little while. God does not go the way that people want to prescribe him. Rather, his way is beyond all comprehension, free and self-determined beyond all proof. Where reason is indignant, where our nature rebels, where our piety anxiously keeps us away, that is precisely where God loves to be. Hear this, friends. There he confounds the reason of the reasonable. There he aggravates our nature, our piety. That is where he wants to be, and no one can keep him from it. Only the humble believe him and rejoice that God is so free and so marvelous that he does wonders where people despair, that he takes what is little and lowly and makes it marvelous. And what is the wonder of all the wonders? That God loves the lowly. God is not ashamed of the lowliness of human beings. God marches right in. He chooses people as his instruments and performs his wonders where one would least expect them. God is near to the lowliness. He loves the lost. He loves the neglected, the unseemly, the excluded, the weak, and the broken. God goes to the least, the last, and the lost. The story of love is founded right here in this story. There is no greater story. And this gift that God gave us costs so much. Growing up, my brothers and I had this game. We had this distant family friend that would send us Christmas presents every year. And we would always wait to see what we got, because I don't even know if I'm going to share this in the live stream, but we're not live streaming this, so you get to hear this, friends. But we would always wait for their gifts because they had more money than God, all right? And then they would send us something that you would buy at the gas station convenience store rack. You know what I mean? And so we'd get like this like dollar store like gift from them. And we would always joke about how ridiculous it is that these people even went and bought these gifts and sent them to us. Like, just send us a card at this point. You know, just say that I love you. And the reason why we joked about this, because we would see how ridiculous these gifts were, is because we knew that at the bottom of it, we didn't feel loved by this family. That it was an obligation just for them to send a gift, right? That they were just kind of checking something off their box. And I know that sounds petty and I'm making a big deal about it, but I need you to hear this. God didn't just send you a dollar store gift. The story of love is he gave himself fully. And he gave himself in the most ultimately shameful way, choosing death itself, taking on the weight of all of our brokenness, the weight of all the evil in the world, the weight of all the brokenness in your heart, but also of all the evil that we see every time we turn on the news. He gave himself for that. It was not a dollar store gift. It was his son, Jesus, that walked this road and chose death for you and for me. This is the ultimate gift so that we might know that he loves us.
Thanks again for joining us for today's message. We will return to the sermon in a moment, but first, we would like to ask for you to rate, share, and subscribe to our podcast. We believe God is doing some amazing things here at KUMC, and your feedback helps our church to reach new listeners that we wouldn't otherwise be able to reach. Now, let's get back to the Word.
Second thing I want you to see here is that love sacrifices. This is the foundation of love. Not romance, not desire, not lust, not some emotion. The foundation of love is sacrifice. Jesus said it in John's gospel this way: greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Even as Reggie and A Fresh Start were sharing, they were talking about relationships, because that's how we know we love each other, by how we lay down our lives for each other. Will we do that? Will we lay down our lives for each other? Because that is the foundation of love. It's sacrifice. Look at your friendships. Look at your relationships. Look at your marriage. Is there any sacrifice there? Because if there's not, you're missing the whole weight of it. If I just tell my wife I love her, but I won't do anything for her to show that love, what am I saying? The foundation of love is sacrifice, and God sacrificed all for you and for me. And the third thing, and I got to move quick, is God has a plan for this love. Finally, God's love for you is not just for you. Our story of God and Jesus and the forgiveness of sins is sometimes reduced to a narrative where we're the hero and God just came so that you would feel better. And then we go home and we feel better about ourselves. But God's love was to set you free to love other people. That's what 1 John 4 says. That since he is love, we ought to love one another. Whoever hates a brother or sister does not actually have love. That's the narrative here. God's love has set you free. Look at what it says in verse 11 and 12. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. For those that are in God and they don't have love for brother and sister, there's something wrong with that equation, right? There's something wrong here. All of this is building on itself, and I want you to see this. The scripture is not love others because I said so. It is not religion in that sense or some weird moral standard. It's not love others because that's what you're supposed to do or love others or else. The story is love others because I'm love. He points back upstream. I'm the source. You love others because the source has also come for you and has set you free to love others. Oswald Chambers puts it this way, the springs of love are in God, not in us. It is absurd to look for the love of God in our hearts naturally. It is only when it has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Steve Siemens would put it this way, thank God that I don't have to love, but I just have to let God's love love me into loving. To position ourselves in the source and then to allow ourselves to be set free to love others. For some of us, we have trouble loving. Hear this, church. For some of us, we have trouble loving because we do not believe we're loved. And that some of you, it's not your fault. Because there's been brokenness in your life, or brokenness at home, or mom and dad didn't get it right, or a relationship gone wrong, or a marriage that went off the tracks. But if you don't believe you're loved, then it's hard to extend that love, right? And friends, I need you to hear that today. Maybe for the first time or the millionth time, know that the source of love came in Jesus. And the message today is that you're loved. 48 times in 1 John, the word or the verb or noun for love is in this book. And in this text, it's 31 times. The main message, if you miss anything else I said today, I want you to know, as you come forward to receive this meal, this bread and cup, you are loved. Not with a dollar store gift, but with the ultimate gift of sacrifice, God giving himself on the cross to bring you into eternal life, to redeem you and heal you, to give you a name and a people, to bring you together. I want you to hear that message today. That's the bottom line. You are loved. Okay, last thought here. What does this look like? Very quickly, there's two marks of love that 1 John 4 says. First, they are marked by a fearlessness, by those that have been loved by God, and they have radical love for others. Marked by fearlessness. For those that love God and God is in them, there is no love because perfect love casts out all fear. When I was in college, we adopted a dog. My wife works in vet clinics, and so it was only a matter of time that I was just going to be given an animal, right? The fact that we don't have a zoo in my house is a miracle at this point. But she came home, and she said, you got to adopt this dog, right? So the sweetest dog in the world, and her name's Sadie. And when we first got her, she had been abused. She had been through something broken or difficult and probably had lived out on her own for a long time just trying to eat whatever she could find. And when you walked up to her, she would roll over and she would go to the bathroom on herself because she was afraid, right? She was completely afraid of me being there. But as we loved her and cared for her, that went away. And the message here is that there is no fear in love for those that are loved, that are given a home. And some of us have not been loved in this world, that we have been through brokenness and difficulty, and we are afraid. But the source of love is here for you today, and it casts out all fear. Yesterday, I was playing Superman with my son. He's a toddler. And you know Superman, where they get on your feet, and you kind of fly him in the air. It's the worst thing ever, because he knows how to say again, right? So he says again and again and again. And what Luke does when he gets up on my feet is he begins to like climb up and try to stand on my feet, like the most ridiculous thing ever. Like, toddler, you're gonna kill yourself. Please get down. Like, don't do this. But he's confident. Why? Because he's loved. Because he knows he's safe. There is no fear in my toddler's eyes or in his motivation. And when he thinks about things, he knows the security of mom and dad. And friends, I don't know what your mom and dad was like. I don't know what home you came from, but I need you to know the source of love is God, and he is here with you. You are loved. And the second thing is that we, for those that have been loved by God, we should have radical love for others. Not check the box kind of love. But we should sacrifice for one another. Those that are secure in this love have radical love for each other. Jesus says it this way, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Friends, people don't know that we're the disciples of Jesus because we're not loving radically. But when we love radically, they will stop seeing you and they will see him. That's what Jesus says. And so the message here is to love, and love at a cost, because God has given abundantly in our lives. Those that know the love of Christ forgive when it does not make sense. They sacrifice deeply. These are the people that walk away from careers because they're called as a missionary. These are the people that dedicate their lives to serving in orphan care or foster care. These are the people that sacrifice all of the things around them. These are the people, this is the dad that puts the golf clubs away for a season because they have more important things to focus on. This is the person who can be inconvenienced in the middle of their schedule and you wouldn't even know it was an inconvenience to them. This is the person who is okay being taken advantage of because their reward is not in reciprocity. Their reward is already given in the source of love, God himself. Love embraced becomes love extended. Today, I pray that we embrace the love that is available for us. Let us pray. God, I give you thanks for today and the blessings you've given us. And I thank you for this time together as a family. But God, more than anything, I thank you for the love that you have poured out at the cross and the love that was sealed by the hope of the resurrection, meaning that it can never be taken away. And that promise is here and declared for each and every one of us. It doesn't matter how we came in here today. It doesn't matter what is in our past. It doesn't matter how dirty or gone or lost we feel. Today, your love is available. And God, I pray that that would be declared, that it would wash over us as we receive this meal. Lord, we love you and we trust you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.